Without looking, do you know your theme for 2013? I know your theme. Alright, increase in the knowledge of God. And one of which is in the realm of faith. Alright, it is very important. Jesus, at two occasions, rebuked his disciples. He rebuked them as, ye men of little faith. And then at one point of time after coming from the transfiguration up the mountain, and he came down, saw the commotion, and in the end, he said, a faithless generation. So these two rebuke, be gentle, we need to take note. And we thank God that the writers of Hebrew reminded us. He says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we call ourselves God's children, if we call ourselves what we understand as Christians, but if we lack that faith, as the Hebrew writers tells us, it is impossible to please God. Not only that, before we look into Psalm 129, I'd like to direct you to James chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. What does the Apostle James tell us? James chapter 1, sorry, not chapter 5. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Shall we all read in unison because it is so pertinent to us? Alright, let's read in unison. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is a description of a man that has no faith. Alright? And let him not ask in wavering. And let him not think also that he should receive anything from the Lord. So, a life of faith is fundamental to all of us when we call the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. It is not only in the New Testament that we talk a lot about faith. In fact, as we read Psalm 129, in the Old Testament, they have all been talking about faith. They have all been living a life of faith. All right? Now I'd like to direct you to Psalm 129. The superscript of Psalm 129 states there, a song of degrees. The idea is a song of ascending, a song of ascents. There are two sayings, I'm more inclined to one of them. One is that they are all together 15 psalms. That just before you enter the temple of Jerusalem, they are all together 15 steps, where every step you recite one psalm. That's one saying. I'm more inclined to the second one, because Jerusalem is perched on top of the mountain. As you proceed on your annual feast, to worship the Lord, These are the 15 psalms that the scribe has collated for them to recite as they approach the temple, preparing their hearts to worship the Lord. And if you were to read all the 15 psalms, it is so enriching that it touches every aspect of our life, as every aspect of the Israelite's life. And Psalm 129 is no different. It is a psalm of recollection. It is a psalm of telling the people to cultivate a life of faith. How do we do it? Through the psalm, I'd like to suggest that a life of faith can be cultivated through gleaning lessons from the past. Alright, history. It is very important for us to study history, especially biblical history. That's one point. And second thing, after understanding the lessons from past history, biblical history, let us now exercise that faith or the work of faith in our daily living. These are the two very basic things that we ought to do as a child of God. Alright, let's go to the first point now. I call it the faith of our fathers. Learning from history. Sometimes it's ironical. There's always this saying, I think all of us can repeat. History, if you don't learn history, and history will what? Repeat itself. But let's look together. Look at it today. How many times history has been repeating itself again and again and again. People just don't get it. Alright? And we have seen history repeating itself. But let us now learn from the psalmist. Let us glean the past lessons and be able to say, Lord, we have learned and we will keep it. We won't want it to be repeated. What are the lessons that we can learn? The first is lessons of triumph amid adversity. Let us be very clear in our mind that our belief is not the happily ever after. Alright? Some of you may even tell me, Pastor, after I believe, after I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems like adversities are even more than it was before. Yes, no doubt about it. Because what does the Lord say? The world hates us. The world hates us because we are the disciple of Christ. Because our life is not, it's incongruent to them. Our lifestyle and their lifestyles clash. So they don't like us. And once they don't like us, we have added adversity. Bear that in mind. Alright? Yes, we have joy. Joy in the Lord, but not from the world. Because they don't like us. They call us weirdo, alright? They always term us weirdo. I can't understand you. What kind of people you are? Correct? Never mind. We don't need them to understand us. Alright? Triumph amid adversity. Let's look at the psalmist. What did he say? Here the psalmist is speaking as a nation rather than as an individual. He is representing Israel as a nation to say, alright, recalling the triumph of Israel amid its extreme adversity. And the psalmist made a triumphant declaration in verse 2. Alright, yet they have not prevailed against me, speaking on behalf of the entire nation. We have gone through the most extreme adversity. We have gone through the worst time, and yet the enemies have not prevailed against us. The psalmist realized. The psalmist looked back, and he looked at the history, the many sufferings that we went through. The Lord was there to preserve us. He was there to support us. He was there to relieve us. We were not prevailed. The enemy has not won us. The enemy has not prevailed against us. That's how triumphant. I tell you, Israel's sufferings were numerous. We do not know exactly the time that it was. But if you were to look back, Israel had a lot of suffering, even right up to today. The nation that suffered the most. Alright, let's look at their suffering. It was really, really severe. Verse 3 and 4. The plowers plowed upon my back. Have we had plowers plowed upon our back? That's certainly we won't lie it on the ground and like, come, let's plow. No. It was a description. Can you imagine that the plow, the sharp tongue, and then when the bullock just pull, and then if you were to lie there over your back, that's the worst thing that can happen to a person. And worse still, what did they say? He says that they have not prevailed us, and they made long their furrows. Not only plowing, and they plow as long as they can. Alright, could be a description of the time frame. Not only a while, several months, it was years that they suffered under. Yet, the Lord preserve them. Alright. So what's the lesson? First lesson. Lessons of triumph amid adversity. Do we have? I think probably we have encountered in our workplaces. We have encountered in our sort of colleges, our schools. And also in our neighborhood. I think some of you have heard that the Lord is so merciful to let us, after 14 years, to be able to acquire a piece of land with house on it in Forestdale. We were there one day, just looking at the place, we wanted to make friends with our neighbors, to show our Christian kindness. So after all done, we came out, she was there. So as the pastor, I approached, I said, my name is Peter. Pleased to meet you. Can I know your name? Without even telling us her name, she says, have you applied? I said, we are in the process of applying for the change of use. But we have gone in to the council, you have not applied. Yeah, we are in the process. Alright, but let me just tell you, we never like church to be here. You want to apply it for a change? I tell you, I will object to it, and my neighbor will also object to it. We were all taken aback. Alright? This is a peaceful city, a peaceful street. We don't want people to come, we don't want the church to be here. So this is the challenge that we have. Alright? Quietly we say, Lord, have mercy on us that we can win over our neighbor. Alright, we'll do our part. And then we'll just leave everything to the Lord. Alright, for the change of use. So, we encounter all this. But God will not allow the enemies to prevail against us. We can really triumph over all our adversity. Biblical history, church history, church history of our own church, of your church, the covenant, All right? Your personal history can provide valuable lessons. Lessons of what? Lessons in God's care and preservation. This evening, as you go back, reflect. Reflect. God, yes, we went through tough times. We encountered many difficulties. Yet, we can declare that you have helped us. So, we triumphed. We were victorious, like the psalmist. All right, let's look at a lesson of faith. The second thing we want to talk about, gleaning from past lessons, lessons of God's covenantal faithfulness. Let's turn to look at verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. The Lord is righteous. The psalmist was very, very clear that it was God who always gave the much needed, longed for deliverance. He cut in pieces the cords of the evil one, of the wicked. Alright? So he says, the Lord has preserved us. The Lord has cut asunder the cord of the wicked. But the first sentence is very, very crucial to all of us. The psalmist did not say, God has given us. Yes, it is definitely God. But for the Israelite, the very moment they use the word the Lord in all capital letter in the King James Version, it is actually Yahweh or Jehovah. And this name is very, very dear to every Israelite. Alright, it's just like all parents. Alright, when you call your kids, you have what we call the family name, correct? Outside people will know you by one name, but the family will know you by another name. The moment you hear your parents call you by that name, so dear. Alright? But if your parent were to name you by your name, just like Peter Cheng, I know that I'm in serious trouble. Alright? If my dad were to call me by that name, I'd say, I'm in trouble. Is there anything wrong? Have I done anything wrong? But if my dad called me by my short name, I might as well disclose it to you. When I was young, I think I'm very lack of hair. I think people in BB those days, I'm known as in Malay called Bota. Bota means bald. Bota, no hair, very little hair. So when they call Bota, not too bad. My friend cannot call me Bota. My dad called me Buddha. Oh, it's endearing. Correct? So, names have a very special meaning. So, when the Israelite calls God Yahweh, it is more than just God. Yes, definitely the idea, the concept of God, the Creator, the omnipotent God is there. But it is also a God who had made a covenant with our forefather, Abraham, with us. That's a covenantal name. So when Moses asked God, you asked me to go to the Israelites, yes? Then what am I going to tell them? I can't just go there and represent myself. Then the Lord says, you just tell them, I am that I am. And that's Yahweh, the Lord. I am. I have a covenantal relationship with you. And the moment the Israelite called the Lord, Yahweh, immediately they will understand this God who had made a covenant with us will not forsake us. We can rest assured in God's covenantal faithfulness. Not that God is bound by His own word. He wants to. He loves to. Alright? This is the God that we are worshipping. How assuring that is. Now what is the lesson for this faith from history? Sometimes we think that our repentance causes God to give us a much needed deliverance. Yes, we must repent. Alright? He's faithful to forgive us our sins. We must. But let us not have any idea that God's deliverance is solely dependent upon our repentance. We must. It is our joy. It is our what? It is our obligation. It is our daily sanctification. We must do that. But that does not mean that, therefore, Lord, I confess my sin, you must forgive. God says, even before you do that, in love, I have already forgiven you. The very moment that you confess your sin shows that you love me. That's the idea. That's God's covenant. We're not saying that therefore I don't have to repent because God anyway will forgive. Not so. God is not dependent upon. But if we don't want to repent, that speaks volume of our relationship with God. That we do not know this God. Like David says, Lord, you search me. You search my inner being. I know there's nothing good in me. But I want to confess before you. Because why? Because I know that you love me. That's the covenantal relationship we have. Alright? We must. But an outflowing of our faith in God is the sure of God's covenantal faithfulness to us. So, second thing, what is the lesson that we can learn from God? Lessons of the covenantal faithfulness of God. Some of you here may face difficulty, or you may even know that months down the road, there may be difficulty or challenges ahead of me. And dearly beloved, I'd like you to learn this afternoon from the lesson that this God that you are worshipping, He is faithful to His covenant to us. He will bring us through. He will not forsake us. No one can pluck us out of His hand. This is the God we are. This is the past lesson that we have learned from the psalmists, from the apostles, from church history, from our own church history, and for our own personal history. And it is something that we must grasp. Now that we have gleaned from the lessons, what must we do? James tells us, faith without action is dead. So let us exercise our faith, the work of faith in our daily living. How do we exercise? How do we exercise? What must we know? First thing is that let us be very confident that God is in full control. Alright, John Calvin calls it the sovereignty of God. God is in absolute control of everything. I like that the hymn, "This is my Father's will." Though we see the sin so prevalent, God is still in control. Let us not despair. Alright, that's how we are. Look at the psalmist, verse 5. let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. The psalmist, learning from history of Israel in the preceding verses, he concludes with a confident future outlook. All right? Let them all be confounded and turn back. The psalmist here is not seeking revenge, but he has a complete confidence in God, knowing that God is absolutely in control, that God personally administers the defeat. Be confounded and turn back. It is God who is doing all this. Can we be as confident and as the psalmist? Lord, yes, I'm encountering this. I know that the work is pretty weak, but I know that you are in full control. Not that I have any strategy, not that I'm good at plotting anything. Lord, I don't want to. Full confidence in you. You personally will administer the defeat. I thrust all my care to you. All right? We have to learn the mighty work of God through history. It is very interesting to learn or to study church history. You see what's happening today, all right, almost 1,000 years ago, had already happened. It's just that it's being repackaged. All right, I think all of us understand. How many of you like to eat tidbits? I think all of us like, right? You look at the tidbit. Today's tidbit, wow, the wrapper is beautiful. Individual wrapping. Back in our days, no individual wrapping. Come in one whole big chunk packet. But individual wrapping, the moment you open up the wrapping, beautiful wrapping, you look at it, the same old thing. The same old kai and ji. You know what's kai and ji? Those little preserved plum. Beautiful to eat. But now packaged so nice. And it's so expensive. So today, the same thing. A lot of things happened before. Now repackaged. So, let us be confident that whatever the case, alright, God will administer the defeat. They can come in all sorts of form. But we know that the mighty word of God is always there, helping us in full control. Once we have understood this, let us learn to put it in practice. Sometimes we always like to detach by, oh yes, I know all this. But when it comes to the very situation, suddenly all these things forgotten. I think all of us have encountered from time to time. Yes, I know about it, but I know God is going to do, but. No but. No but. If God knows how to do it, let's say, Lord, help us. Help us. All right? I learned a lot through the past history, knowing that in my personal history, yes, there are many challenges. There was a point of time it was really low, but the Lord saw us through. Yes, sometimes we can go into the valley, but don't stay in the valley. All right, don't stay in the valley. Get out of the valley and then go up. There will be times that we go into, but the shorter, the better. Climb up again. All right, by God's grace, we must. Second thing we want to put into practice is that be convicted that without God, life is futile. Right, verses 6 to 8. He says that let them be as the grass upon the housetop, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. All right, here the psalmist gave us two pictures, two images to tell us. Besides having confidence that God is in full control over all situations, we must also be convicted that the life living outside God, or even worse, against God, is utterly futile. Every time when we encounter, I fell into this, and I read it, and I said, Lord, thank you for that encouragement. Every time when we fell into a situation, immediately we ask, why? So the book that I read, the author suggests, every time when you come into that situation, automatically when you ask why, start asking the next question. Lord, what's next? I think that's very encouraging. Lord, what's next? Alright, rather than asking why. I think Job, with that kind of friends, you call it no friends at all, he was almost at the time of collapsing. He asked God, why? Then God answered. Did God answer Job's question? Not at all. Not even remotely. God instead asked Job, Job, when I divide the water, where were you? When I created the universe, where were you? Sometimes God doesn't answer our questions, answer our why. God wants us to see beyond the why. God is molding us. God is training us. That's called a life of faith, exercising a life of faith. All right. The psalmist has two images. Those people, the wicked people, they think that they live outside of God, without God. They think that they will prosper. They say it's futile. First, it's talking about a tuft of grass springing up on the mud roof. Alright, the Palestinian, the Mediterranean, they're all flat roof. So they have tuft or mud, alright, deposit there. And then immediately you'll see grass or weeds coming out from there. I think all of us in Perth understand. Probably in Singapore, not so. Malaysia, yes. Alright, in Singapore, it's all concrete. You can't. Unless you have your little private house, you can. In Perth, you see. I tell you, our back, is all paved. Not concreted, but paved. And under the patio, it's definitely dry because the rain doesn't come in. And yet, I can see weeds growing out from there, in between. I tell you, I couldn't understand. Alright? But not for long, because it's dry. After a while, the moment you see, withered. And then the next one come out, withered. That's how the image is there. Yes, they are like turf, they flourish. But before, you can even just, okay, let me take you away and then start cultivating you. It's already withered. Alright? So this is how short it is. And then the second one is, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. This is the situation facing our farmers today. Alright, let's ask God for mercy. Many parts of farming in Australia is facing exactly this situation. We are not saying that they are being judged by God, all right? But that's how the situation is. The mower went out to mow. For what? The purpose is to collect. But the collection is not even enough to fill the hand. Likewise, the person who went out to cut the sheep can't even hold it within the bosom. How meager that is. That's life outside of God. Alright? So much so, verse 8, the passers-by, alright, pronounce no blessing. Neither do they which go by, the passers-by, say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. There's nothing, there is no blessing that they can even pronounce. How sad it is. We bless you in the name of the Lord. They can't even say that. They can't even say that because no harvest. No harvest. That's life outside of God. So dearly beloved, before concluding this whole sermon, I'd like to highlight to you a mistake that I learned, repented, but it was such a costly mistake, which I like to share with you, to ask you to watch out. Don't go the way that I went. After school, I was, after my high school, didn't get a chance to study uni, but that's it. Never mind. I worked, and at the same time, I studied. At that point of time, I was pretty cocky. Hardworking. So I said, okay, no problem. So I went, my first job was in a bank. I worked in a bank. And then, in a very short time, I had very good colleagues, taught me all the transaction that I need to know, all the knowledge that I need to know in a branch, in a banking branch. So I was so cocky, you know, nothing more to learn. Must go elsewhere. Alright, so was looking, not even 1 year, looking for promotion. How arrogant I was, I didn't know. And I didn't get it, miss it. So I said, I want to resign. And lo and behold, I think it was the Lord's very painful lesson to me. I got a job. I was so happy. Alright, it was... that job was an audit trainee with PSA, the Port of Singapore Authority. I was so happy. I could even get a scholarship and study and at the same time work. I was so happy. I asked my bank manager. My manager advised me, Peter, look at the bond. All right? The bond. Read the fine detail. You're going to be bound by the bond. Look at it first. My mind was already set. His word was just to that ear. So I went within 7 days. Altogether, seven of us. All of us resigned en masse. Because we can't study. Because every night we had to work up to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Because every project... It's called President's Urgent Matter. Every little audit is President's Special Priority. So every time we had to work up to about 10 p.m., then where were we going to study? And then we went to see the Chief Internal Auditor. We can't study. No, you are here to work, study. He said, but we can't start our bond if we have not completed our external study. That's your thing. So we had to resign. And instead of getting my first salary, we had to pay in lieu. Oh, that was a painful lesson. But I didn't learn. I was so cocky. Never mind. Anytime I can find a job. Easily. I was out of job for more than 9 months. It's almost like long-term unemployed, right? I was out of job. Still no medium. I was so down. At first, I was still happy. I said, Lord, thank you. That's the chance for me to read. I read through the Bible several times, only in those days. Okay, never mind, no job. I read the Bible through. But after reading, the speed getting slower, slower, slower. Until so much so, I closed the book. I said, I don't want to read. And I was so arrogant as to say that, Lord, I would have nothing to do with you. I really thank God for His mercy that God did not say, Peter, you said it, let it be, I would be dead. Alright, God, I would have nothing to do with you. As though that, wow, I'm so grand and so great that God, you need my favor rather than I need your favor. But God was so merciful. Right? Slowly go through a very tough times and lesson, and then God brought me back. God brought me back. So dearly beloved, this sharing is to you is that every time when you encounter an adversity, even if it is not your fault, do not abandon your faith. Cling on to the Lord Jesus. Alright? Even if the thing is not very, very clear and God's relief is not as soon as you like it, God is there. He be confident that He is in full control and be convicted that without God, life is totally futile. Cling on to Him, the Lord will see us through. So let us, from now on, cultivate a life of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let us pray. Lord, indeed we thank you for this psalm. For the lessons that the psalmist is teaching us. Lord, help us to understand you a little deeper. Lord, help us to know that without faith, it is impossible to please you. Lord, we want to cultivate a life of faith. We want to stay close to you. We know that on earth, there are many challenges. There are many hardships that may come our way. But Lord, we thank you. You never abandon us. You will see us through. You will carry us on your shoulder. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray.